My gratitude first gardeners. I hope you guys are doing well out there and as well as you can possibly be doing at this time, right? I know that we all know about what's happening around the world with the Ukraine and Russia, and you know, our hearts are just really, really heavy right now. I know me personally, my heart is just so heavy. My heart is just bleeding for the people of the Ukraine, but also for the people of Russia as well. You know, it's just so heartbreaking when you have to witness people dying and losing their lives and people's families being torn apart, you know, and destruction and chaos and war and people having to defend themselves and fight for their lives, people having to flee their country. It's just heartbreaking, you know. And then from what I've seen, you know, a lot of the people in Russia don't want this. They don't want war. They don't want, you know, this tragedy, this chaos, this conflict to be happening right now. And their hearts are also bleeding for the people in the Ukraine. So it's a really, really heavy time. And I had another topic that I was going to talk about today, but I said no. You know, I want to just check in with you guys and just have a chat, you know, about what's going on. I know that we're overloaded right now on what's going on, but I just wanted to make this episode an episode of healing and of peace and of coming together. And you know, of just being one, right? Of just oneness and of love and of compassion, right? And, you know, if anyone, I know that I have listeners from all around the world. And first and foremost, I'm so grateful for you. If you're listening to me, you know, from any other country and in the United States, but any other country, I just want to say thank you so much. I am so, so, so grateful that I have amazing gratitude first gardeners listening all over the world. But if anyone, you know, is listening and they're either, you know, in the Ukraine or in Russia or in, you know, a neighboring country, or if they know anyone, you know, from those countries, I just want to say that my heart is especially going out to you today, and my prayers and all of my love and my just compassion and my condolences. I'm just so sorry for what's happening right now. And, you know, we're feeling it here in America. Our hearts are with you. And so, you know, the first thing I want to do before, you know, we jump into this episode really is, you know, I was just sitting here, you know, after crying for the past like couple of days, and just thinking like, what can I do? You know, how can I just help? How can I be of service right now to the beautiful people in the Ukraine who are just going through like, you know, the hardest time of their lives right now? Like, how can I help? And so, you know, besides, you know, prayer is first and foremost, you guys, right? Like prayer. And I know that we've all been praying, and whatever it is that you do, however you connect with God or with source, with your creator, right? So whether that's, you know, holding a moment of silence, whether that's meditation, you know, anything, whatever, you know, spiritual practices or rituals you do, whether that's, you know, visualizing or scripting for, you know, healing, whatever it is that you do, right? I encourage you to do that, you know, and I know that we've all probably been doing it, but just continue, you know, to do it. Because one thing that is true, you guys, is that when collective energy comes together for a specific cause, you know, when millions of people around the world are coming together in spirit, you know, and bringing their energies together from all around the world for a specific cause, it shifts, right? It shifts the energy. And if everyone is just praying for peace and holding, you know, a moment of silence, or for the people who are losing their lives and suffering right now, and praying for love and praying for unity and praying for peace, if millions, you know, and even billions of people are doing that all around the world, it does make a difference, right? And God is definitely a miracle worker, and the energy can most definitely shift, right? So do not discredit, first and foremost, the power of prayer, you guys, the power of meditation, the power of just holding some space, right, for the people who are just suffering right now, right, who are fleeing their country, who are leaving their homes, who are losing their loved ones, who are being separated from their families, who are having to fight, and they've never fought before, they've never shot a gun before, and they're now being, you know, or I saw a video where a couple of weeks ago they were training, some of the people in the Ukraine were training just in case, right? Just in case this day did come and now it's here. And then others, you know, they have no training at all, and they're having to defend themselves, their families, and their country, you know? So please, you know, don't discredit the power that you have, right? The power that the collective energy has all around the world to really make massive, massive shifts, right? So prayer is first and foremost, right? But if you're like, you know, I want to do more, right? I've been praying, and, you know, what else can I do? Well, there are definitely organizations that you can donate to, you guys. And I have looked up some organizations. I've donated. I'm going to continue to donate. But I've looked up some organizations who are supposed to, you know, really be giving those funds to the people of the Ukraine, right? So unfortunately, sometimes when you give to organizations, they don't do what they're supposed to do or what they say they'll do with the funds. And that's unfortunate, but it happens, right? So I wanted to make sure, like, what organization can I give to that will really actually be donating these funds, right, to the people of the Ukraine? Because they need it, right? They desperately need it. And so I found some organizations who are supposed to definitely be donating to the people of the Ukraine, and also to anybody else who's helping them, right? The doctors, the nurses, the medical personnel who are assisting the injured right now, right? The people in the neighboring countries, you guys, who are taking in, you know, the refugees, right? The beautiful people of the Ukraine are having to escape to neighboring countries and, you know, just find shelter. So that, imagine, right? Imagine someone escaping and knocking on your door like, hey, can you help me? Can we stay here, right? So the people who are letting the people from the Ukraine stay with them in the neighboring countries, don't forget that they, you know, need more food, right? They need more blankets, more clothes, more whatever, more toiletries, right? So it's a lot on so many different people. Then I think about the children, you know, not only both the children and the adults who are going to have psychological trauma after this event, right? So all of the survivors that have had to flee, or who have seen or know that their dad is not coming back, or their brother is not coming back, or their sister is never gonna come back, right? That is mental, emotional, and psychological trauma that those poor people are going to have to, face and deal with for the next years, right? Maybe months, maybe years, right? So we have to think about the after effects of all of this as well, and the type of therapy that people are going to need, the type of therapy that children are going to need after this, right? The children who are asking their parents, like, why do we have to leave? People are leaving with the clothes on their back, right? And, explaining that to children, like, okay, we're no longer going to have this home tomorrow, or we don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow, right? So we have to think about all of the after effects as well as, people need food and clean water and shelter and clothes right now, today, right? And medical care today. And so there are so many ways that you can give, my loves. And don't, whatever you can give, I'm going to leave the list of several organizations in the show notes. So whatever you can give, right? Just give it, right? So you can skip that latte, you guys. Like, so God and my spiritual dream team got me like all the way together because I was online and I was like, I knew that I was gonna give, right? But in addition to that, I was like, oh, well, I have been eyeing this specific dress for like a little while. And I got on the scale yesterday, you guys, and I was like, yes, I'm on a weight loss journey. So I've been doing so good with like my weight loss and things like that, and my diet, and going to the gym and exercising. And like, I've been losing weight, and I'm so happy. I've been doing much better than I actually, I set some goals, and me and my friend were actually doing this together. So I set some goals and I'm actually beating my goals. And I was so happy about that. So, of course, when you start losing weight and you start feeling yourself a little bit, you might want to shop a little and buy a new dress or so, right? So I've been eyeing this dress. I actually have a folder in my phone that has all of these like cute dresses that I eventually want to buy, right? So there's this one dress in particular that I was like, ooh, I want that one. So I was gonna treat myself, right? So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna donate. But then I was like, yeah, but then after I donate, I also want to buy this dress. And so my spiritual dream team, you guys, they were like, no. You can donate all of the money. You don't buy the dress right now. The dress can wait, and you can donate all of the money, right, to the people of the Ukraine. You can find one organization, or you can find several organizations that you would like to donate to, but you're not going to buy that dress. So my spiritual dream team got me all the way together. And so, you guys, like, we can sacrifice, right? So we can sacrifice a new dress. We can sacrifice that latte at Starbucks that we get every morning. We can sacrifice that for a week or a couple of days. We can sacrifice, the wherever the restaurant that we were going to go to. And we can cook at home instead of eating at that restaurant so that we can help our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and in the neighboring countries who are taking in the people from the Ukraine, right? So we can make those sacrifices. And sometimes, and yeah, I'll leave the organizations in the show notes, you guys. But of course, do your own due diligence, do your own research and find an organization that's really touches you with what they're doing. There's organizations where you can give food, clothing. There's organizations that will give medical supplies. There's organizations that will help with the mental and emotional trauma that these beautiful people are dealing with and will be dealing with for years to come, right? So there's all types of different organizations that are doing different things, right? So find one or two or three that are near and dear to your heart and just give, you guys, and think about, like, you know, what can you sacrifice today? You know, even if you say, I don't have a lot of money, Erica, we can all sacrifice something, you guys. So what can you sacrifice today that, you know, maybe instead of buying, you know, I don't know, however many, groceries you usually buy, maybe you can use some of those groceries and say, oh, okay, I'm going to donate, you know, to this organization because they buy food, right? So what can we sacrifice in order to help our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine? And sometimes, you guys, we feel like we're so far away, right? And we feel so like, oh, there's nothing I can really do. I'm so far, right? It's not like I can just walk outside and help. But there's other, you know, people are doing protests, you guys. So maybe you can protest, right? There's protests happening all around the world. So I'm sure you can find a protest that's happening near you. Or if you can't, you can organize one, right? Yourself, right? Be that starter, that leader, and organize a protest yourself. So never discount your ability to help, right? Never think that you're too small. Never think that you're too far away. Never think like, oh, there's absolutely nothing I can do. Like, never discount your ability to help, okay? So that's first and foremost, right? And, you know, just to put it, I just want to put it in perspective, you guys, because sometimes we might become detached as well. Like, oh, you know, well, they're so far. So again, there's like nothing I can do. But the Ukraine, you guys, is actually almost the same size as the state of Texas, if you're here in the United States, right? So imagine the people in the state of Texas, right, being, you know, invaded right now. Imagine the people, all of the people. So the Ukraine, when I looked it up, it has about 44 million people living in the Ukraine. The state of Texas has about 29 million people. So imagine everyone in the state of Texas, you know, fleeing for their lives and then some, right? Or staying behind to fight for their country, or their families being split up and torn apart, right? Imagine everyone in the state of Texas right now, just in this total, like, heartbreaking, heart-wrenching chaos, the panic of their lives, right? And so, you know, when we think about it that way, we would definitely do something to help the people in Texas, right? So think about it that way, right? The Ukraine and Texas, they're almost the same size. And just because, you know, the United States is a huge, huge, huge country, but if you think about all of the states within the United States as like their own individual countries, right? You, as being sort of a neighbor of Texas, wherever you live in the United States, you're close enough to help. So you would do something to help, right? Whether that's opening your doors to let the refugees in, right? And now imagine, you know, how hard that is for the people who are opening their doors, right? They're having to figure out, like, you know, who's going to sleep on the floor? Who's going to sleep on the bed? You know, how much food do we have? How many blankets do we have, right? How are we going to fit all of these people into our homes, right? So It's just, it's a lot for everyone involved, right? So just to bring it a little bit closer to home, if you feel like super detached and super like, oh, well, they're so far away, there's nothing I can do. Think about, you know, since the Ukraine and Texas are almost the same size, think about the people of Texas, the state of Texas being invaded right now, and how, you know, how you would do whatever you could to help, right? Whether it's opening your doors, whether it's, you know, going and, you know, providing some type of aid, right? Whether it's donating, right? Whether it's protesting, right? And prayer, right? Meditation, holding space, right? You're doing your spiritual rituals and practices, right? So just, you know, just to bring it a little bit closer to home, because sometimes we think about things that are happening on the other side of the world and we might become a little bit detached and like, there's nothing I can do, they're so far, right? So just to bring it closer to home, imagine the people of Texas being invaded right now, right? So, you know, we are all connected, you guys, no matter how far we are. You know, no matter if we've never met anyone in, you know, the Ukraine or Russia, no matter if we know people there or not, we're all connected, right? We all come from the same source. And it's our job, you know, when one of our brothers and sisters is bleeding and hurting and helpless and they are, you know, crying for help, it's our job to do something, right? It's our job to do something. And don't think like, oh, this little, you know, however much you can give, right? I encourage you to give as much as you can give. And I'm going to continue to give, right? So if you don't give, you know, if you want to continue to give after today, continue to give, right? There's no cap on giving, right? So, yeah, but we are definitely all connected, you guys. And so when one of our brothers and sisters is hurting, you know, we have to do something to help, right? We just have to. And don't think that any action is too small. Don't think that, you know, even if you're posting online, you know, my prayers, you know, for the people in the Ukraine, right? And Russia, you know, my prayers go out to them. Just posting, right? Just showing your support in any type of way is incredibly helpful. Again, the collective energy, you know, when people come together and they want to do something collectively, it can literally move mountains, right? So the fact that, you know, so many people all around the world are praying for peace and for love and for unity right now, it can definitely move mountains. Don't discredit the power of prayer and don't discredit the power of the collective energy. And, you know, I say the people, this is a both and thing, right, you guys? So this isn't, you know, pray for the people of the Ukraine or pray for the people of Russia. Because again, what I've seen is that a lot of people in Russia are heartbroken about this as well. Nobody likes war. Nobody likes conflict. Nobody likes bloodshed, right? Nobody likes when people are dying or displaced or families are broken up or, you know, people have to stay behind to fight for their country. My God, the amazing president of the Ukraine, like what a hero, right? What an example of what a leader should be when he says, you know, I'm not going to flee my country. He was offered, you know, to go, you know, they were saying like, hey, we can get you out of there. And he said, no, I'm not going to leave my country and my people. I need weapons. You know, that's what we need. I'm not going to leave. And I was just like, wow, that's a leader, right? But, you know, the people of Russia, many of them don't want war as well, you guys. So this is a both and, right? This is a, you know, not either or, not picking sides, but this is a healing for the collective. This is a showing of love for the collective, right? This is both the Ukraine and Russia, not either the Ukraine or Russia, right? Unity, right? togetherness. So I also pray for the people of Russia as well, because this is hard. And, you know, unfortunately, when things happen like this, people can tend to like point fingers, right? And, you know, certain people, we see it with every big catastrophe, right? 9/11, right? The pandemic, the coronavirus, right? We see that when these types of things happen, you know, people tend to start to like be really mean and point fingers, right? And this is not what we do here. This is not what creates peace. This is not what creates solutions, right? This is not what brings about solutions at all, right? And so it broke my heart when I saw, you know, during the pandemic, certain people being targeted. It just broke my heart. And I pray that that doesn't happen this time, because, you know, so many people in Russia don't want this, and it's not their fault, right? So I just pray that that does not start to happen, right? And I pray, you know, if anyone from Russia is listening right now, my heart is going out to you, because I can't imagine how incredibly hard this is. You know, I saw something where a man was apologizing for being Russian, right? That's sad, you guys. That's so sad. And it's hard for them as well. So I hope that we can come together, and it's, you know, unity, and it's coming up with solutions and not creating, you know, bigger problems and bigger division or in more division, right? So, you guys, when it comes to, I was just thinking about, you know, putting myself in the shoes of the people in the Ukraine right now. And there's no way that I can even come close to imagining or feeling like exactly what they're going through. There's just no way, right? But I was just thinking about, you know, how hard it must be for parents to look at their children and, you know, to say, like, I don't know what's going to happen within the next couple of hours. I don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. One of my clients had to go through something really similar, and he was telling me about this. And he was saying that, you know, several years ago, before he came to America, or during the time that he came to America, he had to flee from his country, right? And he was just telling me about the fact that he was, you know, separated from his family. He couldn't get in contact with them for months. He had no idea who was alive and who was not alive, if everyone was still alive or not. You know, he had to, you know, and then when he did reconnect with his family, he discovered how hard it was for them, you know, to find food and to find shelter. And he was just describing, you know, how heart-wrenching it was to not know, like, is my family dead or alive? Are they okay? Am I ever going to see them again? Am I ever going to be able to contact them again? You know, it's just so incredibly heartbreaking, you guys. And so, you know, as he was telling me that story, I was thinking, like, my God, you know, how do you explain to your kids, you know, daddy has to go fight for his country, and we don't know if we're going to see him again, right? And I know there's men and women that are defending their country right now. And I mean, the men and women, I just want to say how brave you are to defend your country and stay behind, right? And to fight for your country and your lives and your families, right? But how do you explain to a little kid what is going on right now? You know, I can't even imagine how incredibly hard it is for adults right now, right? Who are fighting for their lives, who are defending their country, defending their families, who are fleeing with the clothes on their back, who are sleeping in subway tunnels, right? I can't imagine how hard it is for the adults right now, but how much harder it is it for the kids, right? Imagine trying to explain to a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5 or 6 or a 7, you know, or even an 8 or 9 or 10-year-old what's going on, right? How do you explain that? And I just started bawling, crying, thinking about all of not only the adults, but the kids who have to walk around and see their city, their homes destroyed, and they can't wrap their little brains around what's going on. Their brains aren't fully developed yet. So they can't wrap their little brains around why or where did my home go? Or why is daddy not coming with us? Or why, even if mommy is staying behind and defending her country and herself and her family, why is mommy not coming with us, right? So my heart, oh my gosh, I'm trying not to cry, but my heart is just bleeding right now, you guys. It's just bleeding. And you know, that's why I was just like donating to people, you know, now, right? Of course, but thinking about the after effects is really incredibly important as well. I'm sure we all remember like where exactly where we were on 9/11, right? I don't care how old you are, unless you were like a little baby, like, right? But if you were, you know, not a baby, right, above a toddler, you probably remember what you were doing, what you were wearing, what you know, the initial reaction that you had, where you were sitting, where you were, right? You probably remember all of that, right? I remember exactly what I was doing on 9/11. Like it's cemented in my brain, you guys. And if you know me, that actually says a lot, right? Because if you know me, like I have a really, 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 really bad memory to the point where people have to remind me of like significant events that have happened in my life. It's really crazy, you guys. It's the weirdest thing ever. But like my lifelong friends who have known me for years and my family, like my mom, my brother, my grandma, they all have to remind me of significant events that have happened in my life because I do not remember, right? So for me to say, like, I remember everything about 9/11 is huge. Coming from the girl who people literally have to say, Erica, remember on your 15th birthday we did this? And I'm like, oh no, I don't remember that. Erica, remember when we were 10, this huge event happened? No, I don't remember that. People literally, my best friend said that she's gonna get me a journal and write down all of the significant events that have happened in my life because that's how horrible I am at remembering. It's almost like I wasn't even there, you guys. It's the craziest thing ever. And my mom and my brother, they get super annoyed. My friends just kind of laugh about it now. But my mom and my brother, they get super annoyed sometimes because they're like, man, this was a huge deal, Erica. How do you not remember this? Like, this was huge. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. It's like years of my life have been blacked out of my memory, you guys. Like I'm so serious. It's the craziest thing. So people literally have to remind me like this happened, this happened, this happened. And I'm like, I don't remember that, but
they tell me that I was there. So I'm like, okay, I guess I was there because you're telling me I was there, but I literally don't remember that. So I say all of that to say, you guys, the fact that I can literally remember like 9/11 is cemented into my brain to the point where I remember everything about that day like it was a freaking movie happening in slow motion. Like, that's how traumatic events like this can be. And I did not know anyone in New York at the time. My brother didn't live in New York at the time. We were kids, right? So I didn't know anyone in New York at that time. But I remember that event like it was yesterday. And again, that says a lot for coming from me, because people literally have to remind me of things that have happened in my life, because it's like my memory was like erased or something. I don't know why, but I just don't remember so many things. So the people who are going through this right now, you guys, like, this is going to be one of those events where they're like, I remember exactly what I was doing, exactly, you know, what I was wearing. I remember, you know, the atmosphere around me. It's going to be one of those things that are cemented into their brains for the rest of their life. The kids who are 6 and 7 years old right now, when they're 50 and 60, they're going to remember February of 2022 like it was yesterday. Like, it's a slow motion black and white movie playing over and over in their head. They're going to remember every little detail about this event, you guys. And that is the psychological and mental and emotional trauma that these types of events have on people. And especially, imagine, you know, for speaking of 9/11, I was totally displaced from 9/11, right? I didn't know anyone in New York. I didn't know people who were affected, but it still affected me to the point where now I can tell you every single detail that happened. And I'm sure many of you, if not most or all of you, can too. I've heard people say, like, I remember exactly what I was doing on 9/11. It's one of those events that's cemented into our heads, right? And that's what's happening for the people in Ukraine and even the people in Russia and anyone else who has family or loved ones there or who knows people. That's what's happening for them right now. This event is being cemented into their brain. And so, you know, of course they need help and food and shelter and all of that now, but I don't want this to be an event where we're just like, oh, okay, I donated and now, you know, I move on with our lives. I want us to think about the psychological pain and trauma that these beautiful people are going to have to deal with for years and years and years and years to come. It doesn't just end, you know, whenever this conflict ends, it doesn't just stop there. Right? They have to, now they're in a new country. They'll never be able to go back to their homes again. So they have to make life in a new country, right? They have to build their families back up. They have to, you know, bury their loved ones if they can, right? They have to cope with the fact that they might not ever see or hear from some people again. You know, little kids have to wrap their heads around, you know, why can't I just be a little happy kid who's full of love and who's full of life and who's full of joy? Why do I have to now, you know, for the rest of my life, remember the traumatic scenes that I saw in my country during, you know, February of 2022? You know, so please don't let this be something that is just in any event that happens, any catastrophic, tragic event, you guys. We can't just let it be something that's like, you know, oh, you know, okay, well, I donated, I protested, right? I did what I was supposed to do. And now, you know, okay, I did what I was supposed to do and now I can move on. We can't let these things continue to be like that. We have to think about these amazing, beautiful souls and the fact that they're going to have to be dealing with the after effects of this for many years to come, right? People who are going to, you know, have, you know, health issues, right? After this, right? And there's just so much that goes into, or that happens as the effect of war and of conflict and of chaos and of someone, you know, invading your country. And I've never been through that before, so I can't like just sit here and say like, oh, I know exactly how it is. I know nothing about how it is, but I can sit here and put myself in their shoes and just imagine how incredibly hard this event is going to be, not only now, but for many, many, many years to come, right? So let's just think about that as well. And I've been guilty of that as well for past, you know, any past like catastrophic event, you guys, like I've been guilty of like, oh, let me just, you know, donate. Let me go out here and protest, right? Let me march, you know, downtown for a couple of hours. And okay, well, I did my part. I'm guilty of that too, you guys. But for some reason, this, you know, what's happening in the Ukraine right now, it's just hitting me so hard. And I just really, really felt the hearts of the kids and the people in the Ukraine. And I was just like, but my God, they're not, this is not, whenever this war ends, this conflict ends, it's not the end of it, right? These beautiful people are going to be dealing with this forever, right? This is going to be like one of those 9/11 moments. Like, oh, I remember exactly what I was doing, you know, February 25th, 26th, 27th, right? Of 2022. I remember it like it's a slow motion movie. And I was like, man, you know, we can't just let these events continue to be like a one and done, right? Like, oh, I donated as much as I could. You know, I sent some food and some clothes. I protested. I, you know, whatever. And now I'm done, right? We can't continue to let it be like that, okay? Yeah. And my heart, you know, my heart is just so heavy thinking about, you know, the kids especially. And I guess maybe it's because I'm a mom now, and I was imagining me telling my 4-year-old son, you know, how do I tell him, you know, baby, we can't come home. We can never go back home, right? How, as a parent, can you have that type of conversation with your child, right? My son is so full of love, you guys. Like, it boggles me. Like, he is like the blueprint for unconditional love. He has never met a stranger. He loves everyone unconditionally. He's so happy. He makes me, like, when I'm having a sad day, he just laughs. And now that he's, you know, talking fully, right, he'll tell me a joke, or he'll just be his silly, happy, go-lucky, not a care in the world self. And I'll just be looking at him, and my everything that I was feeling just goes away. I feel happy. I feel good. Just looking at my son for 5 minutes, just being him, right? Just playing, pretending, playing make-believe, right? Coming up to me and being silly and telling jokes. It's just, oh my gosh. Like, he just makes the sadness go away. And I'm just like, kids are love. They are like, they are the definition. They are love manifested in human form. You know, my son, the other day we were at Dave and Buster's, right? I wanted to take him. I love to take him on like mommy son outings as much as I can, because I want him to remember the experiences that we've had together. And his dad joins us whenever he can as well. And so, but this time it was just me and my son at Dave and Buster's. And he He has this thing where he likes to go up to people and he just likes to say, hello, hello. So, you know, I love that about him. I love that he's so open and he's so free. But the one thing that I did tell him was, baby, you know, whenever you want to say hello to somebody, it's okay. But just make sure mommy is with you, you know, hold mommy's hand, because I don't want him just running up to strangers. And, you know, we never know, right? There are some very interesting people in this world, right? So safety first, right? But I don't want to tell him like, oh, don't say hi to people, don't say, you know, because that's him, that's his personality, and I don't want to shut that down, right? I don't want him to be afraid of people or to think all people are bad, right? I definitely don't want him to think that, you know. So I just said, baby, it's okay for you to say hi to people, but just, you know, make sure mommy's there, hold mommy's hand, right? So the other day we were at Dave & Buster's and he was like, mommy, you know, I want to say hi to that family over there. And of course he points because he's four. So I was like, okay, baby. So the family was like across the room. I don't know why he pointed this particular family out, but he did. So he was like, mommy, I want to say hi to that family over there. And he's like pointing to the family. So I hold his hand. And I'm like, okay, come on, baby, let's go. Let's go say hi to the family. So we walk up to the family and I say, hi, my son, you know, just wanted to come up to you and say hello. So my son says hi. You know, they have a boy and a girl, and then there's a mom and the dad. And so my son says, hello. And of course the kids say hi, right? But the mom and the dad, their faces just light up and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so cute. Hello. You know, and they're kind of having a little conversation with my son, like, you know, are you having fun? And, you know, the mom looks at me and she says, wow, he is something. And I was like, yeah, he is. And she's like, that's just so amazing that he is just so friendly and outgoing. And she was just so happy. And the dad had a big smile on his face as well. And I was just like, wow, you know, my son, he teaches me so much about just going out there, being fearless, being unconditional love. That is, if that's not unconditional love, you guys, I don't know what is, right? Unconditional love for all people, right? And we did, he did the same thing when we went to the zoo a couple of months ago, right? He held my hand and he said, mommy, I want to say hi to her and him and her and that family, right? And we go up to all of the families. He holds my hand and he just goes and says hello. And the fact that the adults, right? Because I fully expect the kids to say hi and to interact with him because they're, you know, most of the time they're around his same age. But the fact that the adults get such a kick out of it and they get so much joy, the adults are always smiling and almost always like, wow, he's so, like, he's awesome. He's so amazing. He's so cute. Like, that just shows how much love kids bring to this world, you guys. Like, kids light up this world. They are, when a newborn baby is born, that baby is the closest thing that we have to God, right? On this earth, that baby is so connected with God and with Source. That baby has just come from God, right? When a newborn baby, and that's why they say that babies can see, you know, spirits, and babies can see, you know, maybe passed on family members. They can still interact with and hear and see passed on family members. My mom and I fully believe that my son still sees my stepdad, who transitioned some years ago. He, you know, calls my stepdad grandpa. You know, he says different things that lets us know that he can see and hear and feel my stepdad's presence, right? So yeah, and my mom and I, we just get a kick out of that. Like, oh my gosh, you know, he still sees him. But kids are so pure and so innocent, and they are love, you guys. And it's just, you know, they are the closest connection that we have to the spiritual realm, to God, right? And so I was just thinking, like, these beautiful, innocent children who are the definition of love, who are the definition of light, who are literally love and light in human form. Like, how as a parent do you explain to these beautiful souls, like, you know, mommy or daddy have to go fight and defend their country, or, you know, we will never be able to go back to our home again. You'll never be able to see your friends again. You know, you might not be able to see your aunts or your uncles again, right? Your favorite books, your favorite toys, your favorite teddy bears, you'll never be able to see those items again. That's just, it's heart-wrenching, you guys. And so my heart goes out to all, everyone, you know, everyone in the Ukraine and Russia right now, but also, you know, to the parents who are having to have these hard conversations with their children about death. These beautiful children who are the source of life. You know, I look at my son when he's sleeping sometimes and I just say, thank you for my life. Because in so many ways, he has driven me to become better, a better mother, a better person, a better provider for him, a better nurturer, a better teacher, right? He has driven me to become better. And in so many ways, he's like, I just look at him and I'm like, you're it. Like, you're worth it. You're worth me being here, right? And so when he's sleeping, sometimes I just whisper in his little ear, you know, thank you for my life. Thank you for making me better, right? He just makes me want to be more for him, to provide a good life for him, a great life for him, right? And so I'm just like, these kids who are the givers of life, how do we, you know, how does a parent explain to their little child what's going on right now? You know, I don't know if we're going to survive, honey. How do you have that conversation with your child? You know? Oh gosh, you guys, it's just, it's really, really, really heavy. And so my heart just goes out to the parents and the kids as well who are just surviving right now. That's like all that you care about in this moment is, can I survive, you know? And I can't tell people, you know, everybody is entitled to like their opinion, right? And here on the Gratitude First podcast, like, we're so open and we welcome all people, all opinions, you know? But before we start, you know, I've seen some things online like, you know, don't fight, right? Don't fight, just pray, or just, you know, love and light, you know? And the thing that I have to say about that, you guys, and, you know, of course you can agree or disagree with me on this, but if someone was invading your house right now, your country, you know, and there's one thing if someone is like holding a gun to your head, right? Don't be silly, right? Don't be, you know, naive, right? If someone is holding a gun to your head, this is not what I'm talking about. But if it's like a fist on fist type of thing, and someone is like punching you, or if someone is like trying to kidnap your child, or if someone is trying to harm somebody else in your family in some type of way, you know, I am all for love and light. You know, if you know me, you know, I am just about as love and as light as it can possibly get. I am just like, you know, hey, everyone, kumbaya, let's all get along. You know, I'm that person in my friend group and even in my family. But if someone is directly, you know, harming you or your family, and you have an opportunity to defend yourself, would you not defend yourself, right? Like, and again, I'm not talking about, like, you know, people holding a gun to your head. I'm all for safety, right? So if you run and you have to hide out in those subway stations, definitely do that. But if it comes to, like, the point where you are found, or, you know, you have to defend yourself in some type of way, you know, looking at the person who's trying to harm you or your family and saying, you know, it's all love and light, or let's, you know, let's pray, like that, you know, let's just use common sense, right? So if someone is attacking you and you have to defend yourself, you defend yourself, you defend your family, right? And we can't sit here in our houses and, you know, speculate and say, oh, you know, you shouldn't be fighting, it's all love and light, you know? But they're defending themselves in their country, right? And so I want you to put yourself in their shoes. Like, if someone burst through my door right now and, you know, they were trying to, you know, fight me or kidnap my son or something like that, right? I wouldn't just casually stand by and, you know, oh, love and light, you know? And if you know me, I am the peacemaker in my circle. But when it comes down to defending yourself and defending your family, you know, we can't say like, oh, I would do this or I would do that. You're not in that situation. And God gave us a fight or flight response for a reason, right? So yes, now people are fleeing, right? To save their lives, to for the safety of themselves and their families. But people are also staying behind to fight for their family and their lives and their country and to defend their country. And we can't sit up here and say like, oh, that's, you know, oh, don't fight, love and light. No, right? Like, if it comes down to it, you're also going to defend yourself and your family and your country as well, right? And maybe this is just the Aries coming out in me. So you guys can let me know, like, oh, Erica, no, I think you're totally wrong. And that's okay, right? I respect everyone's opinion. So maybe this is the Aries sun and the Aries moon that's coming out in me right now. You know, Aries, the god of war, right? Mars ruled, the planet Mars ruled, is Mars is known as a planet of war. So maybe this is the Aries coming out in me. But yeah, you know, if someone burst into my house right now and they weren't holding a gun to my head, I would defend myself and I would defend my child, right? I'm not just gonna let you, right? Like, just destroy everything, kidnap my kid, harm me, rape me, right? And I'm not gonna fight back and I'm gonna, you know, do this whole love and light thing, right? No, right? So I feel like, you know, before we say things like, you know, oh, they shouldn't be fighting, you know, oh, this and that, you know, think about you. If somebody, like going back to Texas, you guys, if somebody attacked the people in the state of Texas, you know, would not all of the other neighboring states come to the aid of Texas, right? It doesn't matter, you know, how spiritual you are, how, you know, love and light you are, or you think you are, we're human first, right? And we are here. God gave us a fight or a flight response for a reason, right? God gave us the emotion of anger for a reason. And so don't get me wrong, you guys. Like, if it came, you know, if I had the opportunity to escape to safety, to flee, right, with me and my son, I would most definitely do that first and foremost. But if it came to a point where for some reason I couldn't escape, you know, or I couldn't flee and I had to stay there and I had to defend my, these beautiful people of the Ukraine, they're defending themselves, right? So if I had to defend myself, I'm going to defend myself and defend my son. I'm not going to sit here and look at you and talk about love and light, you know, like, seriously, right? Like, God gave us emotions and, you know, power and might and strength and a brain and the fight or flight response for a reason, right? You defend yourself, in my opinion, when it comes down to it. If you have no other choice, you defend yourself, right? If it comes down to defend yourself or die, I'm going to defend myself. And if I go down, right, if I happen to pass away defending myself, then so be it. But I'm not going to, you know, when someone's, you know, attacking me, I'm not going to sit here and start talking about love and light. And so we have to, you know, put ourselves in other people's shoes, you guys, before we start speculating. One thing my mom always says that I love and that is so true is that you never, you know, can fully say what someone will or won't do in a really chaotic situation, right? So we can look and speculate all day long. Well, I would do this and I would do that. I know that my first reaction would be to defend myself because I've seen that part of me come out before, right? As love and light and as kumbaya, you know, as I am, as everybody tells me I am, oh, you're so nice and peaceful and kumbaya, as love and light as I am, I have that other side in me, right? We call her Talia. Talia comes out when I feel like I have to defend myself, right? And it doesn't, Talia does not come out often, but I've seen that side of me. My mom has seen that side of me. My brother has seen that side of me. And, you know, when somebody is verbally attacking me or just harming me in some type of way, I'm going to defend myself, right? So, you know, it's easy to say, you know, oh, we shouldn't be fighting. But if you need to defend yourself and your family and your country, and you, for some reason, you couldn't flee or you don't want to flee, that's your choice. And, you know, for us to sit here and say, you know, all love and light, I do, you know, yes, it is love and light, but it's also common sense. And it's also, you know, if someone is attacking you, then you defend yourself, right? So I hope that makes sense, because that's something that I saw that was a little bit disturbing. And yeah, like, one thing my mom says, you guys, is when you're in the middle of chaos, when you have a traumatic, chaotic event that happens to you all of a sudden, you cannot, you know, say, oh, I would do exactly this, or I would do that, or I wouldn't do that, or I wouldn't. You don't know. Like, when you have, like, blacked out or something, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this thing happened all of a sudden and it was just a reflex, like it was just a reaction, like, you know, you can't say what you would do or how you would act, you know, in certain events. Like, oh, I would just, you know, I wouldn't fight, or I would just, you know, run away. Or you can't really say that, you guys, because You know, those types of events can cause us to act in ways that we've never seen in ourselves. It can cause us to bring certain aspects in different elements out of ourselves that we never knew were within us, right? And I believe that that's what's happening for a lot of people in the Ukraine right now, right? They never imagined that they would have to take up arms and defend themselves and their family and their country. They never imagined that they would volunteer to stay behind, you know, to defend what's, you know, their livelihood and their country and their land, right? So, you know, we can't say like, you know, we can't speculate on these types of things when we haven't been in that situation, right? When things like this happen, you guys, sometimes you look back on yourself and you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that. I never in a thousand years would have imagined that I would volunteer, you know, to go back and fight and defend myself, right? But I did, right? So, yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that. And, you know, speaking on that, you guys, like, I just want to say, first of all, to the women who are, I saw some images of women who are fighting and defending themselves and, you know, taking up arms. And I just want to say, like, wow, you know, that is absolutely incredible, right? And what, from what I've read, a lot of these women, they don't have any type of training at all, right? So it's not like they were already in the military, right? These are like moms that, you know, moms and women who are just saying, yes, I will fight for my country. And I think that that is absolutely amazing. But I also want to, and we kind of skip over the men, because it's like, oh, well, you know, the men are, yeah, duh, they're expected, right, to fight, right? But I don't want to skip over the men. I want to highlight the men, because we also live in a society of like the Miss Independent Woman now, right? We hear all about Miss Independent and, you know, I can do bad all by myself. I don't need a man. We hear that all the time, you guys. And not knocking that at all, because me being as ambitious as I am and me like having a business and wanting to have other businesses and wanting, you know, success in the entrepreneurial world as well, I am not knocking that at all, right? I am not knocking like any woman who, you know, is ambitious, who strives for success, whatever that means to her, right? I'm not knocking that, because I'm definitely one of those women who's, you know, I have that entrepreneurial spirit within me, right? And I'm unapologetic about that, right? So not knocking that at all, you guys. But what I will say is that, you know, we have to honor our men as well, because in this society where it's like, you know, hot girl summer, I can do bad all by myself, Miss Independent, you know, this society, I feel, has kind of like, I don't know what the word is, but we haven't, I don't feel like we've honored our men and recognized how much our men contribute to the society and our well-being and our safety and our protection as well. And if it wasn't for men who are also taking up arms and defending their country and their family and their lives right now, you guys, like, the Ukraine would be in a really bad position, right? We kind of just assume like, oh yeah, you know, of course the men are going to stay behind, right? We kind of just assume that, but no, let's really show gratitude and thank them, because if all of the men fled, like imagine all of the men fleeing from that country, what, you know, what kind of, where would they be right now, right? So we have to
think I'm so grateful for the men who are staying behind. And I'm so grateful for men, period, you guys. Men, period. Because it saddens me sometimes. Like some of the conversations and the talk that I hear about, like, oh, I can do anything a man can do, right? But can you really? Right? Can you really? Right? One thing that I know is that men have helped me in so many ways, right? Men have helped my son in so many ways. I remember I was with my son at piano practice one day, and my son was just having a fit, you guys. Like, just, was he three? I think he was three at this time, 3 years old, and I could not get him to calm down, right? And before we went into the building, you know, of course, I didn't want to bring him in crying and all of that, you know, with his piano teacher. So I sat outside with him. It was a hot, like, spring day, really, really nice day. And I could not get him to tell me what was wrong, you guys. He was just crying. He was having a fit. I was trying so many different things to see, like, what would calm him down, what was wrong. I tried to hold him. He wouldn't let me hold him. You know, he was just, you know, when a three-year-old is, like, out of it, they're out of it, right? So this man, who isn't his teacher, but he's another teacher for the older kids, he came out and, you know, of course he saw me, like, struggling with my son, trying to get him to calm down and all of that. My son was not calming down. And he just sat down and he just started talking to my son. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was, you know, how they say, like, men have bass in their voice. So the kids kind of listen to the man a little bit more because of that bass. Or I don't know if it was just, you know, I don't know what it was about him. But, you know, the man sat down. And he said, hey, man, come here. He was talking to my son, like, hey, come here, buddy. Let me talk to you. And he was just talking to him like normal, right? Hey, what's wrong, man? How was school today? Did you have a good day at school? And my son, all of a sudden, he just started, like, he calmed down. He started talking. You know, the man was telling jokes and my son started laughing. And within, like, just maybe 3 or 4 minutes, you guys, my son was just fine as can be, happy, talking, laughing. And I just looked at him and I said, thank you. So, guys, like, I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, you are such a godsend. Who are you? I was struggling with my son for a good 10 to 15 minutes before, you know, he helped me, you guys. And I was like, wow, you know, that's the type of thing, you guys, our male teachers, our male educators, our male role models for our children, our dads, right? Even though my son's father and me were not together, right? There's no, like, kind of romantic connection or anything at all. But guess who I call if I'm in some type of trouble, right? If I need something, you know, if something, like, breaks in my house, I call my son's father. And thank God we have, you know, a friendship or the type of co-parenting relationship where it isn't all, like, you know, we're at each other's throats, we can't stand each other, right? Thank God we're so, you know, peaceful and cordial with each other. Because anytime that something breaks in my house, right, I call my son's father. I'm not dating anyone right now. I don't have any relationships, not married, right? So, you know, he's handy with certain things around the house. And I'm just like, yes, thank God, you know, I have my son's father in my life. Anytime, you know, I need an emergency, like something with my son, his dad is, like, right there, right? And thank God for our men, you guys. Thank God for the men in our lives, because there's, we can, you know, I have,
you know, I have my business. I can provide, you know, financially for my son. I give him the education and the nurturing that he needs. I give him, you know, a beautiful house to live in, all of that, right? But even with me being, you know, that independent, and I put that in quotes in a way, right? Even with me being independent, being single, living on my own, right? There are times when I still need a man. I still need a guy, because if something, you know, the faucet breaks, or, you know, something in my house goes wrong, like the garage isn't opening anymore, right? The refrigerator goes out, right? Who do I call, right? I call my son's father. My stepdad has transitioned. My brother does not live in the same state that I live in. And thank God, you know, I have my son's father. Now, when I start dating and I, you know, have a relationship and I get married, of course, that role is going to change, you know, to my husband, or to the man that I'm courting. But until then, right, me being completely single, right, thank God I have my son's father that can help me, right, when my car wasn't working, right, my son's father gave me his car, right, his car is much nicer than my car, right, a nice, really nice luxury car, and he gave me his car, and he was like, here, just have this, right, and I'll take your car to the shop, and I'll figure out what to do and how to get around, but you and my son can have this, right, until your car gets out, right? And even after my car got out, you know, he was like, let me just make sure it's okay, I'm gonna drive it around for another week, you can keep my car, right? Those types of things, you guys, thank God I have him in my life. So, you know, we can say all day long, like, you know, Miss Independent, I can do bad all by myself, you know, I don't need no man. But at the end of the day, we do, right? And even if you don't directly have someone, you know, that you can call like that, when you call a plumber, who comes? You know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a man. If you need someone to help you fix your roof, who's up there helping you fix your roof in your house? 9 times out of 10, it's a man, right? Who's the mechanic who is working on your car, right? 9 times out of 10, it's a man, right? We do need men, right? And so it saddens me sometimes, you know, and I have to check myself sometimes, because sometimes I get into that mentality like, oh, you know, I'm bad, like she bad, she bad. You guys know that song, she bad, she bad. I think that's Cardi B. You know, sometimes I feel myself and I get into those, you know, I get into that space where I'm like, oh, I'm bad, you know, I got this, blah, 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 blah. But I have to watch myself, you guys, and I have to be like, no, Erica, don't, you know, let that ego get too high, because we all need someone at the end of the day. Nobody can ever do everything by themselves, you guys, right? And I just want to take the time to say thank you, especially to our men, because I've noticed a shift, you know, the past few years. And it's like Miss Independent, Hot Girl Summer, I don't need no man, I can do everything a man can do. I've noticed that, you guys. And I just want to honor our men today, right? Because the war that's happening right now in the Ukraine, the men, and of course the women, I'm not discrediting the women, but we're just highlighting the men right now. They're fighting for us, right? They are fighting for their people, their families, their country, right? And so to say like, oh, we don't need no man, it's not true. Of course we do. God created the man and the woman, right? God created us together to be in harmony, to live together. And I fully believe in, you know, the roles of a man and a woman, right? I fully believe in the hierarchy. I fully believe in, you know, the man, you know, being the leader, right? And so, and the woman also, you know, being a leader in many ways, but there has to be, there can't be, what did they say? Too many chiefs, not enough Indians, right? Everyone can't be a chief, right? So we have to honor our men, and we have to, you know, I'm all for, you know, woman growing her business, woman being ambitious, woman climbing that corporate ladder, women making the salary that they want to make, women making as much as they possibly can in their business, the women, you know, just doing it all, right? Investing, saving, buying rental properties, opening multiple businesses, right? I'm all for women teaching, you know, other women how to succeed, right? I am all for that. Like, you can't, you know, see me in my business and say that I'm not, right? I definitely am. But at the same time, you know, I also know that I need other people in my life. I can't do this all on my own. I can't do everything all on my own. I don't know anything about fixing a sink. I don't know anything about, you know, I don't even know how to do certain basic things for my car, you guys. So it's either, you know, I call my son's father or I take it to my car to the shop to get it fixed. And on every occasion, I've never had a woman fix my car, right? That's just how it is. I've never taken my shop to a mechanic and there was a woman fixing it. Like, and I'm not saying there's no women that are mechanics, but what I am saying is that it is a male-dominated industry, right? I've never called someone for a problem in my house and it was a woman who showed up at my door. And again, it doesn't mean that women don't do those jobs. I kudos to all the women who do those jobs as well. And to say I'm going to dominate in a male dominated industry, kudos to you women who do that. But I'm just saying, in my personal experience, it's always been a man who has shown up at my door and said, okay, let me fix this for you, right? Or my son's father. So we have to keep these types of things in mind when we're, you know, as we're in our Miss Independent and I can do bad all by myself phase. We have to keep those types of things in mind and just honor our men and just say thank you, right? Because this society would not run, this world would not run without men. And lately there's just been so much talk about the independent woman, and I, you know, again, I'm all for that. I'm all for an ambitious woman. I'm all for women not depending on men for what they want. I'm all for it, right? I'm all for women like making their own money, all of it, right? But I also recognize that men are, you know, we need them. We absolutely need them. And to say that we don't is simply not true, right? So thank you, thank you, thank you to any man who is listening to this podcast right now. We appreciate you. We love you. We do need you, no matter how much you hear about the independent woman. And men are needed to raise our kids as well, you guys. That might be another episode, but I fully know that I need my son's father in his life to raise him. I especially believe that young men need men to navigate them through their lives and to raise them, right? And even if you don't have, you know, the father in your children's life, find them a male mentor, right? Find them, there's a big brother, big sister, right? And there's male mentors that will be a positive, really good influence in your son's life or your children's lives. But we, you know, I can't teach my son how to be a man. I can't teach my son. I'm not a man, so I don't know how men think. I don't know when a man walks out the door in the morning, the problems or the situations that he has to face. I don't know what it means to work a job and be a man and the things that he has to deal with, right? I'm not a man. And so for me to sit here and say, like, oh, you know, I can teach my son everything that he needs to know and he'll be, you know, fully functional and A-okay when he grows up. Me as a woman and me as a very feminine woman as well, besides when I get into my masculine and it's like, oh, let's meet this goal today, you guys. And let's, you know, besides that part, but me just being at home, like in my element amongst, you know, my family, super feminine, super girly, super, you know, like playful, right? Super, super playful, super girly. And, you know, my son is 4 right now, which is great, because he's still a little boy. He still needs all of that nurturing from me. Like, he'll never stop needing nurturing from me. I'm always gonna nurture and like love up on my baby. But no matter how old he is, if you're listening to this, baby, when you get older, I'm still gonna love up on you. But, you know, he's 4 right now, right? So it's great because it's like, okay, now he just needs the nurturing and the care and the, you know, the guidance and all of that. But thank God my son's father is still active in his life, you know, so active in his life, because I know that as my son grows older and older and older and older, he's going to need his father more. And, you know, whoever I marry, when we come together, you know, that's going to be another amazing male, you know, figure and role model and bonus dad in my son's life who can help, you know, my son to become a man. I am not, you know, delusional, and I'm not going to be one of these women who sit up here and say, oh, I can teach my son, you know, how to be a man and everything that he needs to know. I can't. And I'm not, you know, I'm not oblivious to the fact that I can't. And I'm not going to be so delusional to say that I can, right? So I believe that, you know, especially our boys, right? But even girls, they feel a void when their father is missing, when their father is not there, right? Girls feel a void around that as well. But especially, you know, our boys, you know, they need men in their lives. And definitely girls do too, right? Girls, you know, some of the dating choices, right, may not be made if you had a strong male figure in your life. Some of the choices when it comes to your self-esteem and how you feel about yourself and how you allow other people to treat you and the boundaries that you hold or don't hold. And again, the dating choices, you know, if more women had strong male figures in their life, little girls growing up with their daddies telling them how amazing they are, how beautiful they are, how, you know, how a man should treat you. If more little girls had that in their life, some of the choices that they're making or may make in the future or have made may not have been made with a father figure, right? Or their dad, right? So that's another reason why we need our men, you guys, is you know, men can raise boys to be men, right? And I know that, you know, as my son grows older and older and older, he's gonna need things from his dad and from my future husband that I can't provide for him, that I can't tell him, I can't teach him certain things. I'm a woman, you know, and I do not know what it means to be a man. I don't know what it means to think like a man or live like a man or act like a man or have to go through the things that men go through, because I'm a woman, right? And I truly fully believe that we need our men for our children as well. So, my loves, thank you so much for listening. My heart and my prayers and, you know, just my compassion goes out to the people in the Ukraine as well as Russia. And let us just say a prayer, have a moment of silence. You know, whatever it is that you do in your spiritual practices, let's just do that now and just sit quietly and just hold the people of the Ukraine and the people of Russia and the people in the neighboring countries who are taking in refugees and people in other countries who have family members in the Ukraine. Let us just take a moment and sit silently, do whatever you're feeling called to do right now spiritually, and let's just sit silently and hold some space for them. Let us do that now. Okay, very good, my gratitude first gardeners. So, thank you so much. I didn't feel like it was right to do all of the music and the intros, you guys. So, I know that this podcast episode is a little bit different. I just wanted to just pour out my heart and just talk because the past few days have been so heavy for me. Just lots of tears, lots of crying. I've watched the news more than I ever have, probably. I'm sort of a person who likes to stay away from the news because I'm such a feeler and I can feel energy and so many things. And every time I turn on the news, it's so depressing and it's hard for me to detach from what I just saw sometimes. And it can like totally bring down my whole entire mood and my whole entire day. So I barely even watch the news. But of course, you know, with this type of situation and within any big situation, I do watch it just so I can keep up with what's happening. And my mom and my brother get on me a lot about that. Like, Erica, just turn on the news. Just turn on the news. Because they know I don't watch the news at all. I just, you know, it really brings my energy down. But I have definitely been watching the news around this event. And it's just sad. It's really heavy. It's very heartbreaking. Like, my heart has just been bleeding for the past couple of days. So, and I know yours is too. You know, if you're listening to this, you know, I know it's just a really heavy, heavy, scary, confusing time for everyone, and especially the people, you know, in the Ukraine, in Russia, in those neighboring countries, you know. So, you know, I pray for everyone's healing who's listening to the sound of my voice right now. I pray for peace. I pray for peace in the middle of the storm. I pray for peace in the midst of chaos. I pray for healing. I pray for, you know, just you just doing whatever you can, right? Even if that's saying a prayer, if it's giving something, if it's going to a protest, you know, whatever is holding a candlelight service, right? Whatever you feel in your heart that you can do, doing some rituals, your spiritual practices, whatever, right? Scripting, visualizing, holding space in your heart, going to a church service, another, you know, whatever service you go to, right? Just, you know, like I said in the beginning, guys, please don't think that your efforts are too small. Please don't think, you know, what I do won't make a difference, because it does. Every little bit counts, right?
And let's just, you know, let's just pray for healing and for peace and for comfort right now and for love, right? And for unity. And yeah, you guys, let's just really, you know, come together. Let's not get more divided. Let's make it a point to think about how we can come together and how we can, you know, be like our children and show that unconditional love to our brothers and our sisters, right? So thank you, my loves, for just you know, spending time with me. I know this is a long episode, but it's very necessary, right? For all of the people who are just suffering right now. It's a very, very necessary episode. So I just wanted to get my thoughts out there because it's just, you know, these past few days have been just so heavy. Just really, really heavy. So, and I, you know, I can't, like I said, I just can't imagine what the people in the Ukraine are going through right now. If I'm feeling like this, you know, they're right in the heat of it. So, yeah. Thank you, my loves, for listening. I pray all of you are doing okay out there. Just breathe, you know, take a couple of deep breaths, and we will, you know, we're going to get through this. We get through, we've been hit back to back to back to back the past couple of years, and we've become united, and we've gotten through it. And we will again, you know, and again, my heart and my prayers, to the people in the Ukraine, in Russia, and in the surrounding countries who are, taking in refugees and helping right now. All right, my loves, I love you so much, and we will talk again next week. Bye-bye.